Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
The Bible reading for today is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five people covered in colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up the mat and walked. The day on which this took was a Sabbath.
She deserves a round of applause. I don't know if it is just me or you feel the same. I want to keep saying good morning, but, well, of course, it's not morning. Good evening to everyone. And my name is Pedro. I'm a part of the great team here at Deep Creek. And what a great privilege and an honor for each of us to be here and to being able to worship the Lord by the songs of praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my son's Yona's first Christmas carol, which is very special to me, myself, and to the whole of the family. We have been singing songs together. We have been singing the words from the screen. Words that have been sang like in cathedral for 1,000 years and living rooms and those countries which Christianity is banned, like Iran and other countries, in house churches. The words that is sung in joy and in grief, in peace and in war. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. And every Christmas, we sing them again and again. Because through these songs, the church keeps proclaiming the truth of Christmas. The truth about God, our Lord, our Savior. The truth about a broken world and sinful humanity. And the deep need that people share to receive Jesus as their Savior. And now, in our passage today, we are led to words that take us beyond the manger and back before the time itself. In the beginning was the Word. Well, let me ask you a question. If you could pick one word or one phrase that has carried more weight in your life than you expected, what would it be? A word or a phrase that has changed your life. It could be a comment from your friends. It could be some news from the specialist. Could be the news that you heard from the immigration office. Or anything else. What would it be for you? Because words are not just words. They're not just noise and sounds. They reveal. Words create feelings. Words bind. Words bless. And at the same time, words break. And this is why John starts his Christmas story in John's Gospel, where he does. There's no news of the manger, of baby Jesus, no shepherds, just straight to the heart of the truth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. This is what we have from Psalm 33, from the Old Testament. God speaks and light comes into being. God speaks and life begins. And now, this same creative, life-giving word has taken on flesh in a manger, visible and touchable. Christmas story is about God entering the story to remake it from the inside. But humanity always has a pool, a place people return to, trusting it that will change their life, trusting it that will speak life into them, trusting that this pool could give them life and hope. In our second passage in John chapter 5, we see a picture of such a pool. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He is down near a pool where a great number of disabled people used to lie and waiting for healing. And there is one man who is unnamed, with an unnamed disability, but with a very specific number. 38 years. 38 years is long enough for losing hope, is long enough to reshape your desires. It's long enough to become practical, saying to yourself, I don't expect much now. I just need to survive. It's long enough to become bitter. Other people always get in first. I don't have a chance. It's long enough to become superstitious. Maybe next time. Maybe if the water moves. Maybe if someone helps. The man explains his whole life in one sentence. I have no one to help me. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. He's not only disabled, he's alone. He doesn't have anyone to help him. And here, then Jesus asks him a question that is so strange. Do you want to get well? Of course he wants to get well. Everyone there wants to get well. That's the whole point why they are there. They want to get well. But Jesus is not asking this question because he lacks information. He's asking this question because he's about to expose something else. So the man answers honestly, but he doesn't answer the question that Jesus asked him. Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" And the man answers, "I can't get into the pool." The pool here represents every human attempt to take control of life through world, through achievement, success, through different things, even spiritual methods. If I do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, I will be healed. If I'm first, if I'm lucky, if I'm strong, if I'm helped, if I'm enough. And that's when Jesus does something totally different. Jesus heals the person, but he doesn't heal him with water. He heals him with words. The same word that once said, "Let there be light," now says, "Get up." Jesus does not pick him and put him in the pool. Jesus bypassed the whole system. And he says, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And immediately the man did. 38 years ends with a sentence. The man has been longing for glory, for this healing to happen in his life for 38 years. And here the glory of God is standing next to the broken man, speaking life into him. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Israel have heard the prophecy of Isaiah that one day the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together." God came as a baby in the manger. God moved into the neighborhood and walked into the waiting place. And he didn't bring a new pool. He brought a new voice. What Israel longed for in prophecy for many years, Emmanuel, God with us, has now arrived in flesh, in humility. Now here's the challenging part for us, because there is no mention of men's faith in this passage. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. That should do something to us. I want to quote from Karl Barth, who is a Swiss theologian. He says that grace is not God's response to human openness, but God's sovereign decision to be for us before we are for him. And Christmas declares that truth, that God acts first, before understanding, before belief, before any improvement. Jesus takes initiative. Jesus speaks first. Jesus acts first. And that's Christmas. Christmas is God stepping into the long night of human waiting and lighting a fire where people thought only darkness remained. And we've got some modern sort of pool in this world. And one of them, one of the major pool in our time, is identity. We live in a moment where people keep asking, "Who am I? What defines me in this world? Do I define me? Does anyone have the right to define me?" In our postmodern world, identity has shifted from something received to something manufactured by human. And this is described as the burden of the buffered self. And the weight of that task is crushing. I'm not sure if you've experienced that or not. When identity depends on me, maintaining my own meaning, I become fragile. I need constant validation from people. I become anxious and finally become exhausted. But in the middle of the identity noise in this world, God wants us to hear that. That you were made through the Word. You are not worthless. You were made for glory. You don't have to invent yourself from scratch. You are given an identity that doesn't collapse. To all who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God, to all of us. And that identity is the truest status granted by God through His only Son. Jesus goes to the pool, to the overlooked, to the struck, to the tired, to the person who can't get into the system that promised healing. And if there is anyone among us tonight who knows that you've been lying beside a kind of pool, keep telling yourself that if only this one thing works, if only you get in first, then you'll finally be okay. Then I invite you to hear this. Jesus is standing beside you, and He's not pointing you toward the water. He's speaking to you right now. Sometimes His first word to us is uncomfortable. Do you want to get well? Because part of us wants healing and part of us wants control. Part of us wants wholeness and part of us doesn't want to change. But then comes the freeing part. Jesus speaks a command that is also an invitation. Get up. Not perform. Not pretend. Not prove yourself. Not earn it. Just get up. The man at the pool thought glory would come through water or the pool, through timing, luck, and someone else's help. But glory came through the Son of God. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. The Word through whom all things were made stepped into the long waiting of the world, into weakness, into darkness, into silence, into places where hope had worn thin. Glory stood beside a broken man and spoke life to him. Glory of God stands beside you right now and is speaking life to you. It took flesh and made its dwelling among us. And those who had eyes to see discovered that God's glory sounds like a voice calling a person to rise. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That's what we sing tonight with all our brothers and sisters around the world right now, singing the same songs. That the glory we were made for has drawn near, and His name is Jesus. Amen.